And on the right hand and on the left, he has gathered other spirits he has created. Spirits of lies. Spirits of drunkenness. Spirits of this. Spirits of that. And then personal spirits. The devil. Satan. His angels. And the good angels. So there are different, you know, gradations. And I can't, you know, some people really like to get into the gradient. It's too much. Look, our fleshly minds will get puffed up if we start intruding into things we have not seen. So we can only go based on, and everything I say, you say, well, Paul, I think you might be intruding. I'm going based on what can be known from what is written. And just taking that and trying to make logical conclusions based on the teachings of scriptures. And let's go no further than that. Let's go no further than that. Jesus, he commanded the spirits with power and with authority. He had power and authority to just command them. Because that's God's power. That's God's ability. He commands the spirits. He sends them forth. He calls them back. He sends them away. He destroys. He brings to life. Verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. This is Simon Peter. This is also related in the Gospel of Matthew. This is after he had called Peter. You know, he initially called Peter and he followed him. And in the next chapter, he's going to call him and he's going to really come with him, forsaking all. But there's sort of like a transitional period of some time when between he called him. And well, the reason I'm saying all this is because, you know, you read the different Gospels. Like I said, sometimes it can be confusing because people try to make more sense of it than is intended to be given. There are gaps in the narrative, meaning every moment of Jesus' life isn't written down. As John said, if all the things he did and said were to be written down, I suppose the world couldn't contain all the books that could be written. And so sometimes, like, he doesn't even mention the calling of Peter, but he's suddenly in Peter's house. Because Luke is relying on you to understand that there many have taken in hand to give an account. And so this is the account that he put together. And it doesn't include the initial calling of Peter. It includes the consummation of that call in Peter forsaking all and following him. Because they left their nets and followed him. And Matthew almost makes it seem like, and that was it. But really, they went to his house. They met his wife and his mother-in-law who was sick. And then Jesus, verse 39, he stands over her, rebukes the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And she, oh, can I get you guys something to eat? Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God! And he rebuked them and suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And there's a dual thing. It is given unto Christ to rebuke the spirits by the Father. It is given unto him also to humbly not exalt himself, not say, yes, I'm the Messiah, the Christ. But God has given it to the lying spirits and the evil spirits to speak the truth. And then when he would rebuke them, they would confess him. They confess him. They were signs. If the unclean spirits could recognize that he was the Messiah, ought not also his own people have recognized it? But God had blinded their eyes. But the spirits could see things that man could not. And they confessed. They knew who he was. And they cried out as he called them forth. And he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak after they had spoken. And I see it as this complicated sort of dance between the Son of God and his humility and the Father also wishing to testify of him and allowing the spirits, moving them to speak and confess him. Because you see that, because it almost seemed, because you could almost look at it cynically and say, what is this, a game? Where he lets them say, you are the Christ, and says, shh. And it almost is. Because the Father has, but it's not, in that the Father has the Son fulfill humility and at the same time himself by the spirits which he commands, Because Christ commands the spirits by the power of God, and he heals by the power of God, not by the power of the flesh that he was as a man, but by the power of God's Spirit resting on him. Therefore, God's Spirit suffered them, but Christ the man did not. Humbling himself, taking on the form of a servant, not exalting himself, not proclaiming himself, but trying to keep it as quiet as possible. Because that's what he was. The Father, it behooved the Father to testify of the Son and to give glory to the Son. That's the point, is the Son is to be glorified by the Father, not by himself. And the Father, by the spirits he commands, glorified the Son. As Jesus said, if you should shut up these, when they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, as he came into Jerusalem before his crucifixion, he says the rocks themselves would begin to cry, because God's Spirit will not suffer itself to be shut when it needs to speak. But he suffered it when Christ would have the devils not speak. And when it was day, he departed and went to the desert place, a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. No, don't go, stay. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And this could encompass a large amount of time. He's going, every Sabbath he's going up to the synagogue. This is taking time. And this is a moment where he's going around to all the cities of Galilee, which were not a few.